Being at the White House today, Trump said reform will also inspire more companies to return jobs to the U.S. He rejected claims from the Democrats that cuts primarily benefit the wealthy. Trump insisted tax cuts will be aimed at the middle class. House Republicans are expected to unveil their big tax bill soon. USA Radio News.
There are certain people you can always trust. Your grandma, your grandma's friends, lifeguards, action movie heroes who tell you to trust them. But there's no one you can trust more than your doctor. And when it comes to their own frequent heartburn, doctors and pharmacists trust the power of the purple pill, Nexium 24 Hour. And when you choose Nexium 24 Hour, you'll see why. When it comes to heartburn, trust the brand doctors trust, Nexium 24 Hour. May take 1 to 4 days, use as directed.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.875%, APR 4.05%. But choosing the right mortgage lender means choosing more than just a rate. Does calling the company with 11 J.D. Power Awards for client service matter? Does calling the company that invented Rocket Mortgage, the industry's most innovative technology, matter? If working with America's number one online lender matters to you, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Equal housing lender, NMLS number 3030.
Defense Secretary James Mattis testified in front of Congress that current war authorizations in the fight against terrorism allow the United States to continue that battle around the world and should not be changed.
The 2001 and 2002 AUMF should not be repealed. After numerous court cases and debates, there appears to now be a general consensus by all three branches of government that these two AUMFs provide sufficient authority to prosecute operations against Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, and we believe ISIS.
Over 200 people are feared dead after the collapse of an underground tunnel at a North Korean nuclear site. Japan's Asahi TV reports that 100 workers were killed when an unstable tunnel at one nuclear testing site collapsed, and then another 100 were killed when another part of the tunnel collapsed on the rescuers. The site reportedly was the location of a recent hydrogen bomb test that North Korea called a perfect success. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn-Root. I was one of the biggest critics of Obama in the national media. Suddenly, I was under massive IRS attack. So I hired Sam Landis. Sam did an amazing job. We won twice. I didn't owe a penny. Thank you, Sam Landis. Many of you have IRS problems, and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
Responding to questions from reporters about why it took so long to find two Hawaiian women lost at sea, the Coast Guard pointed out they never set off their emergency beacon. Correspondent Chris Barnes with more.
The Coast Guard says the two women never turned on that emergency beacon that was aboard their sailboat because Jennifer Appel and Tasha Fuiava said they never felt truly in distress and didn't think their situation was dire enough to use it. However, the two had told reporters over the weekend they were afraid they had less than 24 hours left to live when they were finally rescued in the Pacific, nearly 900 miles southeast of Japan last Wednesday. I'm Chris Barnes.
China is looking to add another criminal penalty involving their national anthem. Here's Mark Mayfield.
It's already forbidden to sing the anthem at parties, weddings, and funerals. Perceived disrespect that could bring a 15-day sentence. China hasn't offered any public explanation for the potential stiff increase in the penalty. As it stands, the Chinese anthem can only be played at large sporting events, diplomatic occasions, and international gatherings.
A new survey from the Cato Institute shows 40% of Americans want the government to be able to silence what they call hate speech. Only 59% still support the First Amendment's right to stop the government from silencing unpopular speech. In addition, 51% of liberals said it was perfectly acceptable to physically attack Nazis or white supremacists, and 90% of liberals say calling homosexuality a sin is hate speech or offensive. USA Radio News, I'm Jason Wirt.
Hello, it's Joe Peters with Real Estate Matters and a little bit of 55 Plus, and my guest today is Al War. Al, can you hear me? Al, can you hear me? Let me see what happened to Al. I'm going to put a commercial on, I'll be right back.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot and Hunter In every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot in Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
I think we have a good show of operator error here. Let me try this all over. Yeah, so let's give this one more try. Al, can you hear me now? Hello? Al, can you hear me? Third time is a charm. I didn't have the headphones on. That's why I couldn't hear you. Let's try this all over again. Al, how is that? Hey, Al, can you hear me? Think what I might not have had on properly was the phone mic button. So let me try this one more time. Can you hear me now?
Barely.
Yeah. Okay. So that's better.
There, we finally made the connection.
It's operator error on Joe Peters' side, and what I was doing was not putting the headphones on. So this is Joe Peters with my Real Estate Matters show with Al War via telephone. Al's out in Pennsylvania.
Right.
And Al, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Before we get started, I'm going to play a commercial or two, and we will be right back to you.
Okay.
First thing they've asked me to do is give the weather report, so that's pretty easy. I use my handy-dandy telephone with the weather on it. It looks like it's 56 degrees today. And if we take a look at the future, there doesn't seem to be any precipitation in the near future, but we do have, on a daily basis, today we're going to hit 56, 32 tonight. Tomorrow we're going to hit 54, 50 at night. On Thursday and Friday, it's getting into the 70s and a little warmer at the night, and then back into the 50s and 40s at night on Saturday, Sunday. So pretty typical for this time of the year. The weather's just starting to adjust down to where it feels normal. So let me take a commercial here, and we'll be right back.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in the Hunterdon and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Well, if that sounded an awful lot like me, there was good cause. My name is Joe Peters. I'm with Coldwell Banker, and I cover all of Hunterdon and Somerset from a residential viewpoint. But today with Al War, who is a, I would say, a syndicated writer, but he's definitely with the Hunterdon Democrat, which I see his articles all the time, especially on their online version. Just want to talk about some of the things that are going on in Hunterdon County. So, Al, what would be the first thing that pops into your mind if I said, what's new since we talked last?
I would think that the first thing is going to be Hunterdon Expo coming up next week.
I think that's a fabulous answer. I actually saw your article on it, and it's never too soon to get ready for Hunterdon Expo, and it's going to be back at the ice skating rink, but they're going to have bus service. The transportation in and out was a little bit of a problem last time, so going to have bus service from the K school over. It was pretty well attended last time. It was in Central High School, and I guess they're refinishing the gyms or something this year, so we went back to the ice rink for at least this year.
Yeah, they're working over at Hunterdon Central. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, so they moved it to the next level place there on Case Boulevard.
Great. So are you able to attend that event?
What's that?
Do you come over to the event?
I haven't been in 2-3 years.
Right. I know you said you don't drive the way you used to.
No, I don't drive that much anymore. So I don't get around as much as I once did. I turned 81 this year.
Congratulations.
So, I hope there's another 81, but I doubt it.
Yeah, well, I'm not far behind you. I'm approaching my mid-70s, but still out there actively selling real estate and sort of having fun at it and getting to meet people. I, as you know, last year did the Hunterdon Leadership Program, and in doing it, I got to meet just about everybody in the county. I've had a lot come in on my show, like several of the freeholders have come on, and Mary Melfi has come on, and some of the business people like DJ have come on. Some of the nonprofits like Susan Lacks have come on. It's a wonderful county, but it's not without its problems.
Well, yeah, it needs economic development, and they're doing a lot of things. One of the exciting things, I think, is the Hack Hunterdon.
Yeah, I participated in that last year.
Did you?
It was by invite. Mark wanted to keep me involved. It was a little too pricey for me to advertise because one Coldwell Banker advertises. It's Joe Peters' money, not Coldwell Banker's money. And some of the more corporate advertisers were there, but I participated in the planning. I attended the event at the end, and I felt it was really it needs a little fine tuning for next year, but it was a really fulfilling event because I think everybody walked out of there saying, "Wow, what did I just see?"
Well, you know, there are many computer people who are working away in their bedroom or basement.
Right.
And we need to get those people out into a business and take off. There's so many possibilities these days, which Hunterdon needs that kind of industry.
It does.
If you can call that an industry. It's clean. It's high-paying. And that seems to be one of the things that we should be concentrating on in Hunterdon.
I know I had breakfast with Mark Salek, who's our economic development manager, probably
a month or two
afterwards. And I said, so it's a couple of months or two later. What's happening? He says, we have people that want to move here. I said, that's fabulous, Mark. Where are they going to move to? He said, that shouldn't be a problem. I said, oh, yes, it is. And it got us into this chicken and egg conversation of do jobs come first or does housing come first?
Mm-hmm. I think that in my personal opinion, the job comes first.
Right.
And then the housing will solve itself. But until there are people coming in or who are already here who are making $100,000 a year plus.
Right.
Then we're going to have a problem with the housing.
Well, I talked with, I'm trying to think of his name, the economic development manager for Somerset County, Maddox, John Maddox, and he said the same
Maddox,
thing.
Yeah.
Jobs definitely come first. I said, yeah, but if we're having people drive all the way out to Hunterdon County and try to find a place to live and are not paying sufficiently, they're not going to keep driving out to Hunterdon County because a simple one-bedroom apartment is running us about $1,300 anymore, and we don't have any.
I read your blog every month.
Yep.
And the number of vacancies is
it's staggering.
Non-existent.
I just went through one with I met some people who found me on the internet, and they were in Hillsboro as investors, two women. They had sort of mortgaged their houses, taken the money out, went to an investing school in real estate, and they wanted to buy their first property. And they were frustrated because they couldn't find anything in Somerset County that would do. And I'm saying, you know what? I can show you places tomorrow in Hunterdon County as investors to buy. And the simple economics of it is we get about 18 to 20% less in Hunterdon County, and we get the same rent.
Yeah, exactly.
So, long story short, that was about 6 or 8 weeks ago. We bought a property. It was in the one teens, like 115 round numbers, up in Spruce Hills Run. It was a one-bedroom. They had to put about $1,000 or $2,000 into it, paint it, get some floors cleaned up, change a light fixture or two. But it wasn't a lot of work. The reason we were attracted to it, it had a newer furnace and air conditioner and didn't need a lot of work. We put the ad on Garden State, which is where you put things if you're a realtor. And I must have gotten 30 or 40 calls. And they didn't want to show it for 2 weeks because they wanted to finish painting it. And I had one realtor call saying, we will take it sight unseen, full price.
Sight unseen, absolutely.
And that's what exactly happened. We walked through and verified it before she signed the lease at the end.
Sure.
But it was an amazing, to me, revelation that we have people out there so hard to find a rental that they will rent something sight unseen.
Just to have a place to live.
Just to have a place to live.
Yeah,
so,
which makes for good investors.
It sure does. If you're thinking about investing, and everybody, I think, should have a piece of real estate as part of their investment portfolio. It's a perfect time because we're still on the low side on the investments. That the 115 used to sell for 180. So even if it only got back the 150 over 3 or 4 years, think about it. You put 10% down, 15,000, and it goes from 115 to 150. You get 35,000 back for 15 down in 5 years. That's an amazing return.
That's an amazing investment.
Yeah.
And I did a similar type of thing in downtown Jersey City 30 years ago, where the property, the push from Manhattan for places to live that were cheap, or cheaper than Manhattan, was going on in downtown Jersey City at the time. And I bought, I formed a partnership, and another guy and myself, two people, owned, and we bought places and just sat on them for a year and realized the appreciation.
It's a very cyclical business because I've been in Hunterdon County now 18 years, and we bought in Beaverbrook, and we bought two units, one at 115, one at 125 maybe. We watched them both go up over 200, and then when we finally decided to sell, we got like 185 and 175 for the two units. So you never get out at the top, but we did get in at the bottom. Both of those units are back to the 115, 120 levels, and they will go back up, and it's happened.
And they will go right back up.
It's a it's like a roller coaster, if you want.
Sure.
Yep, every 6 or 7 years it goes all the way up, then it comes all the way back down. The simple fact is, and it's a fact of economics, is that we have such restrictive housing regulations as far as building new houses within affordable housing limit standards that we're not building new houses. So all we have is the existing houses.
Is there any new construction going on for new housing?
The only new construction I have seen in Hunterdon County is two Toll Brothers developments. There's a 55-plus across from what you, that's called Polar Cub there on Route 22 in Reddington, past King's. And they're selling anywhere from the mid-fours to the mid-sixes, early sevens, which for a 55-plus is a lot of money.
Yeah.
And then there's a on Route 12, there's another Toll Brothers, and they're in the sevens, eights, nines. So they're taking the place of new construction. And without new construction starting back up, and I have this construction, this conversation over and over and over because I listen to a fellow who runs a company called Keeping Current Matters, and he gives us a 45-minute lecture on tape each month. He said, get involved in your community and tell your community that we need worker-level housing. We need housing above affordable housing limits and below what we're trying to sell today. Because we need to rebuild these communities from the bottom up.
You know, the whole reason I live in Easton, and the whole reason I moved here was New Jersey prices, taxes, and so forth when I retired in New York. And I came here, and it's the same kind of thing. Just about all of my neighbors now work in Jersey or in New York and commute every day.
Wow. All the way from Easton.
Yeah. Sure. There's a bus every 5 minutes in the mornings and coming back in the afternoons.
Wow.
All right. And of course, a lot of them drive. My neighbor drives to North Jersey every day. But the bus service is very good from here. And the pricing of the housing is still substantially lower than Hunterdon County.
Well, and I think most people don't realize, we've always said, and everybody realizes, this New York drives the market. So the closer you are to New York,
the
more expensive it's going to be. And the antithesis is the further away you are, the less expensive, but the more of a commute it is. But the people from Hunterdon County don't typically go all the way to New York. We only have about 5-6% of our population going into New York.
Going into New York. I'll bet as many come from Easton as come from...
Yeah, but we do go to the east. We work probably between Newark and New York somewhere. If you look at...
Well, that 287 corridor just divides... North Jersey.
If you look at Hunterdon County, where are the workers in Hunterdon County coming from? Pennsylvania. Two-thirds of our school teachers come out of Pennsylvania. And I would think if you went into any industry in Hunterdon County, because I know when I take my car down Route 31 to get the oil changed, everybody is from Nazareth or Bethlehem or someplace over there.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with it. It's just that the money is always to the east. So it sort of moves in waves. I know John Maddox says that you really need to get to, like, Morristown or to the east of Morristown in order to get into the type of apartment, I should say jobs that can afford the type of apartments that we're trying to sell here today or rent here today. That's another interesting thing. Jeff Otto, and Jeff worked with me when I was doing my paper on workforce housing, which was part of our white paper for Leadership Hunterdon. And he said to us at the last meeting two very interesting observations. I pay twice a year to listen to Jeff talk for 2.5 hours. And then I have a monthly publication that he sends that I use sort of to update some of the statistics in my newsletter. Try not to plagiarize them, but some of what you see there is coming out of what he says. And the two things that he said was, one, were in new construction, 3/4 of our new construction is in the state of New Jersey going into high-rise buildings.
Yeah.
And not necessarily for sale high-rise, for rent high-rise.
For rent, yeah. The rent, it drives the bottom line.
Right. So you've got people trying to get into, I just published an article this morning on millennials leaving New Jersey. Why do they want to leave New Jersey? They don't want to drive. Why do they not want to drive? They can't afford to drive. They're paying $350 or more in college debt off each month. That's their car payment. But what you're starting to see from Newark to the east is self-contained communities. And these self-contained communities have been tried and have worked to some extent ever since World War II.
Sure.
The biggest fault of self-contained, what I mean by self-contained is you can live there, you can work there, you can, if you have to commute, take mass commutation somewhere. You don't have to drive. The kids go to school there, there's stores there, there's cleaners there. Just about everything is there. You're going to leave.
Everything
on a,
is there and convenient, sure.
The biggest knock was, and they were using something, I'm trying to remember where it was, but it was on one of the 2020 shows, is that the housing boom that created that was the post-World War II housing boom, and it was a great idea, but the lower-level economics people took it over. So you would get welfare in there. You would get just above the poverty level in there, and the associated problems that go with that. I'm not saying they're bad people. I'm just saying they're in a depressed state of being. Sort of made the self-contained community not places where people wanted to live. So during the 60s and 70s and 80s, they all went back out to the burbs, and that's how Hunterdon County happened. We went from 75,000 to 130,000 people during that. Now, it's pulling back ever so slightly. Not dramatically, but it's more of us seeing the attrition still happening. It's always happened. But we're not seeing the movement to the west happening in the numbers it used to happen in. And the result is about 1.5% loss per year at the current rate.
Yeah.
In population. So we've gone from 126,000 to roughly 124,000. That's, if it keeps going, it's mind-boggling because we are, look at the high school level, and this is a magnified issue, and it's not just high school, it's all school, but we're not having as many children as we used to for two reasons. It's easier than it used to be not to have children, whether you agree with that or not, it's a fact. And secondly, it's much more expensive to have children than it used to be. Average daycare center is now running $22,000. So if you have one child and you put it in a daycare, he or her in a daycare center for $22,000, you probably have to go out as the wife and earn $40,000 to net down after your expenses and taxes to that $22,000. So what happens? You don't even consider having the second child because there's no way you could go on. And if you do, and this is what Rich, who's the superintendent of schools in North and Voorhees, said, the school teachers are all from Pennsylvania. We know when they leave to have the second child, we're not going to see them again. They mean to come back, but they don't because they can't afford to. And it's,
once people leave an area, it's very difficult to get them back. One of the things that seems to be counteracting that is nationally, the consumer confidence is up.
Oh, it's wonderful.
And that will drift down to all areas, including, I don't know what it is in Hunterdon, but I would imagine that Hunterdon would follow the national increase in consumer confidence. Once consumer confidence goes up, then people start having more children.
Right.
And that, now, whether or not they stay in the area, when I first moved to the Lehigh Valley, which was the late 80s, they were very concerned over here because all the kids who graduated high school left.
Okay.
They went somewhere else.
Yep.
They didn't stay here. Now that has turned around in this area, and as you said before, these things come and go.
Right.
They don't necessarily stay static.
Well, I said there were two things that Jeff said that I felt was mind-boggling. So one was, and then there was an antidote about the economics, which I want to get to. One was the fact that we're having less children, and that's driving us to need less schools. And Rich says we'll drop 22% to 24% of our high school population in the next 5 years because we see it in the grade schools. It's already dropped. So
it's already dropped in the grade, so it's just a matter of time. Sure.
Right. So we have all of these schools and this whole infrastructure, and we don't need three quarters of it going forward. So how do we make that way? That's a problem looming because you're not going to be able to continue to pay because you're not going to be able to tax in order to pay. So that's one problem. The other thing, which is a plus, and this is what Jeff was saying on the economic side for New Jersey, is we didn't create as many jobs this year as we did the last 2 years.
Yep.
But the jobs that we created are better paying jobs than we've been creating in the last 2 years. They're not burger flippers. There's some discretionary income in their hand at the end of the day, and that will lead to buying houses.
That will lead to the difference. Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
So
it all goes back to the high paying jobs.
Yep.
Goes back to the high paying jobs. If you had high paying jobs that suddenly opened up, think what would happen if a company moved in, say it's a technology company, and
right.
they suddenly hired and put to work 100 people who are making 150,000 a year.
Right.
Think of what the effect would be in Hunterdon County.
It would be tremendous.
It would be.
Because
in all areas, not just, you know, going out to eat in a restaurant, but buying homes, the schools, the whole thing. It would have a tremendous effect. It seems to me that that is the point of the problem that needs to be solved. And I see some activity that is going in that direction, but not enough.
Not enough. Because I think what we're doing by not building new houses is we're using the housing that we've got to get by with. And
get by, that's what's happening. You're getting by.
If in effect, okay, we're losing 1.5%, maybe we don't need as much as the housing, but I gotta tell you, I can sell under 500,000, triple what I sold this year if I had the inventory.
If you had the inventory, yeah.
So just think what that would do. If we had enough houses to sell, we could triple the $50,000 to $100,000 millennial buyer traffic.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And that's a start.
Sure, of course. I was talking to an interesting guy last week. What is his name? Sumner Siki. Do you know him?
No.
He runs, he and his son run Hunterdon Modular Homes.
Okay.
Do you know that operation? It's just off Route 12 there.
No.
Outside Flemington. And they build modular housing. Well, I've known about modular housing, and so have you for...
Right.
For many years, but the thing about it is, it has gotten to the point that you can go on his website and see a two-story brick veneer, six-unit modular home within a garage.
Wow!
They are no longer a house trailer sitting on a foundation.
I know I took one of my customers up to just north of Chester to look at modular housing, and I was impressed with what they were able to do.
What they do these days is impressive to me. And they take it from soup to nuts. They do the grading, they do the land clearing, they do the excavation, the foundation work, the building, even the paving, the driveway, and putting in septic systems, landscaping, and the final certificate of occupancy.
Yep.
How can you go wrong?
You can't. You can't.
It seems to me that that more and more people should be taking advantage of that. It's got to be cheaper. I don't know the cost, and I haven't done any comparison, obviously, but it's got to be cheaper to build modular housing than it is stick construction.
Yeah, and I would think the thing that probably keeps it down to some extent is the cost of land. I'll give you a great example. There were two lots on Lee Street in Clinton. And it was just on the edge of being into Beaverbrook. And we went and looked at him. He was asking $2.25 each for the lots. And I'm saying, $2.25 for a raw lot that's
an
acre? That's a lot of money. Well, a construction.
I tell you what's going to happen with that kind of pricing for land. I had an office in Bridgewater years ago. And behind me, there was a development that had been there for 30 years. And the houses were small. There were one-car garages, whatever. People were coming in. They were buying the house, tearing it down just to get the lot,
right,
and then building a new house on it.
We see a lot of that in Bridgewater still today.
Yeah, yeah. What they're doing is upgrading the housing.
Well, what happened here was a construction company bought it. I talked to them afterwards and said, I was thinking about putting up a 1,800-foot, one-floor, 55-plus type house for myself, and I looked at the land. I just thought the land was too expensive, but now that you own it, what would it cost me to put that up? And he said, well, I got to get the money back for the land plus a little bit of profit for the interest I'm paying on it. He said, you're probably talking $550. And I said, right, and I'm thinking $400. So, you know, that's not going to happen, and he already has a lot. He's building spec houses, at least one. And the house is going up. It's probably going to be a 3,200-square-foot center hall colonial. Just exactly what we don't need, except
that
we'll
sell. Don't need at this point.
Yeah, it will sell in Clinton because there's no land, and that was why he said he bought it. He says we have no land to buy in Clinton, so the land goes for a premium. But move it to Clinton Township, and you buy a piece of land in Clinton Township. I think it's 3-acre minimum building now, so you're not going to build a small house on 3 acres.
Yeah.
It's probably zoned so many square feet. Our zoning laws are not in sync with our future requirements.
With the economy.
Right.
They're just not in sync. You see it everywhere. Not just that, but you see it in the rentals for stores in these small towns. It is incredible what the rents are being asked for.
Right. I know the guy who owns the sub shop in Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
They raised his rent $1,000 a month. I mean, if you went in and counted the furniture and all of the goods in a store, including the refrigerators, he didn't have $10,000 invested in that store. It was a four walls and a place to eat a sub and a place to make a sub kind of business.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, they raised my rent $1,000 a month and wanted me to sign a 5-year lease. He left. Now, I don't know how they got back. I don't know how they got back together because he's back there. So they must have figured, well, nobody else is going to rent them. Maybe I should let them come back at half that price or something. But they're getting squeezed out. The small guy, it's almost like a country and western song. The small guy is getting squeezed out by the higher level rents that are. And we went through this. I sat with Ann, who runs the Flemington Council now. She's right next door to me here. What's her last name? Ann Meredith?
And Meredith, yeah.
We're talking about trying to fill some of the rentals that are in Main Street in Flemington.
Yeah.
And she invited about 8 realtors to sit and talk with her, and of which 6 were more commercial and more residential. But we took sort of note and 2 things. The one thing you said was consumer confidence. It's up there. It's an emotion, not a fact.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
sure.
an emotion.
It's all emotion, yeah.
It's driving the market. And as long as the stock market doesn't crash, it's going to keep going, I think.
Sure.
But what we decided was a lot of this is being rented outside of the real estate industry. And as a result, they're probably not getting the exposure they need, and as a result, maybe not the price they need. But they're also not paying the real estate fee, which you need to pay for the professional. I mean,
sure.
If you go to an undertaker, you got to pay him stuff. If you go to a car mechanic, you got to pay him stuff. The real estate, everybody's in here to sort of earn a living somewhere along the line. But their thought was, what's going to happen if the Jack Cust project happens? The rents in Flemington are probably going to skyrocket. But
yeah.
What's happened?
That's unfortunate, too, because the landlords, I have been a landlord in my past,
okay.
as I mentioned before, but you can't get ahead of the market in what you're asking.
Right.
Or else you'll drive everybody out, or they just won't even rent.
Yep.
And that's happening all over Hunterdon.
Yep.
I see it. I hear people complaining about it all the time. Merchants.
So,
retail shops, whatever,
small
places.
What's happening that they're sensing on the streets of Flemington is that because there seems to be such a loggerhead between the two factions on whether or not this project should go ahead, is it sort of hurting the downtown Flemington?
It is. Yeah, absolutely. How long has this been? You're hitting me here with something that I just don't understand. You know, you make a decision. If it's wrong, you change it, or you go ahead and do something else. But to struggle for, 10, 15 years on what to do?
Right.
Good grief.
Good grief is the right answer. Because I know, I and it was interesting because there was 12 of us sitting at this table, give or take a person. And we said, does anybody here live in Flemington? The answer was no. We all live off of Flemington. We're all trying to make Flemington work because it's the center of how we make a living. We talked about Ernie Tufo, who's with Coldwell Banker as well, and Clinton, said, you know, when I went to high school, downtown Flemington was the cool place to go. It was before malls. It was where it was happening.
Yeah.
And we got into talking. We never came to the conclusion, but I think that the conclusion of what changed it was heading in the direction of Route 78.
Yeah, okay. 78 changed everything.
Yeah.
Sure.
So it was like that old Amos and Andy where these two guys had the business and they were rerouting the street around it. And so Route 78, just to the north of Clinton, or right through Clinton almost, the people in Jack, when I went and listened to him talk when he was running for the gubernatorial primary, Jack Citarelli, if I'm saying his name right, said, think about it. We have proof that nobody north of 78 ever goes to Atlantic City anymore. They go to Pennsylvania or to Connecticut. It's closer.
Sure.
And I never realized that, but he's absolutely correct. We haven't been to Atlantic City in 5 years. I can go to the Sands and lose the same amount of money.
They come in this direction.
Yeah.
They come to Bethlehem.
Bethlehem, and it's like, and I've told this 100 times. I said, if I go to the Sands, and it's a 35-minute drive, and I lose $100. I say to Marilyn, why don't we go have a sandwich? It's not our night. And afterwards, we go back home. But if you go to Atlantic City, all right, it's a commitment. It took me 2.5 hours to get here. I'm almost dreading the 2.5-hour drive back. So another 100 comes out, another 100. Before you know it, you've spent more money than you intended to. So the local casinos, while they don't offer you the variety that you might find in Atlantic City, are solving the problem of, like, once a quarter we need to go do that, and I don't need to do it. Marilyn needs to do it, so I go with her to keep the relationship together.
Well, it solves the convenience problem and it solves the money problem
right.
for many people.
Right. So,
I talked to Ann Thornton.
Yeah.
And it runs MSI Plumbing and Remodeling, although it's more remodeling these days, I think, than plumbing. But
I think you're right.
She was saying that business has picked up and is better than ever. So that's a good sign when that kind of thing. Now, she does a lot of refinishing work for businesses, and she can do your kitchen and bath. And,
yep.
And she'll install a home gym or a wine cellar or, you know, remodel your basement, whatever you need to do.
And she just wrote a book about it, too.
Go ahead.
So Here's my thought on what you just said, because one of my observations is that half of my volume dollar buyers, people that are going to sell a 500 and buy a 600 or 700 just to trade up or right size, are people that have been in their house 12 or more years. It used to be at 7 years this would happen. But now, because of the economic pullback that we had,
It's taken longer.
It's taken longer. And what's happening, which is an amazing thing, it's in my newsletter as well, is that they're paying their equity down a lot quicker than they used to. So they have a lot of equity in their house.
Mm-hmm.
They may not only be able to buy a second house, but maybe an investment property on the side or put some into that little business the wife always wanted to have.
Yeah.
So one of the things I, as a realtor, and since I came out of the corporate world, I probably don't think like a typical realtor, but I just had a discussion with a research person today that works for me. I said, go look at the people that have been in their house 12 years or more, but not more than 18, because by then they're probably never going to move. And let's start advertising to them that maybe this market is a good market to put your house on the market. You may not be aware how much it's worth because the prices have gone up. The people between 05 and 10, so they're going to be just on the edge of 12 years, but they're probably to a great extent still underwater if they only put a minimal amount down. But when you're there over 12 years, you're in pretty good shape. You're in pretty good shape, and that's the people that are buying the next houses and staying within the community. And Marilyn and I came to it because we're both, I wouldn't say nearing retirement, but we're within striking distance of saying we should be on one floor, we should be in a newer house so there's no maintenance. And we went and looked at Canal Walk, which I think I talked about the last time we were on, and we decided it wasn't for us because it was in Somerset County. We really prefer to stay in Hunterdon, although I do half my business over that way. But it also wasn't right-sizing. It was lifestyle adjustment. It was active people. They have a clubhouse over there that's 35,000 square feet. It's as big as a half of Macy's. They have a men's card room, a ladies' card room. They've got two indoor pools, an outdoor pool. They've got this, that, the everything. They run five trips a week to different things, to casinos and New York City plays and restaurants, food outings.
Yeah.
It's like every denomination, religion, ethnicity is represented there. They all have clubs. And our friends that we were visited are Jewish. They felt right at home. They didn't feel like you do in a lot of places. It takes you 5 years to fit in.
Don't sit there.
That's Mary's chair. You know, that they never felt that. They actually have a clubhouse where you can bring your grandchildren in and they can go swimming in the pool. And that's the big club. They have a second clubhouse that nobody but the members can go to. And it's probably a quarter of the size of the first clubhouse. So if you don't want to hear the other people's grandchildren, you got a place to go.
Yeah.
And they're still building on. So here's the other thing that Jeff Otto said that I found absolutely mind-boggling. He said that the 55-plus communities have never thrived in New Jersey for a lot of reasons. They started happening at the wrong economic time, and they were probably not much cheaper than owning your own house. And there's 10 reasons why they never pulled away. But we didn't build a lot of them.
Yeah.
The generation that's going to buy the 55-pluses, which is Generation X now, coming up to 65 and whatever, is half the size of the 55-pluses that built and lived there.
It's smaller, yeah.
It's smaller by almost 50%. And his forecast is that they're going to have a hell of a time selling the 55-plus things going forward, not necessarily today, but as we move forward, to the extent that a lot of them will probably become non-55-plus by need in order to fill.
Yeah, I faced that myself when I sold my business, retired. I didn't know what I was going to do. I moved to Pennsylvania, and I considered that, but I discarded it very quickly.
Right.
I tell you, and you just said something that reminded me. I live in a house that is three stories.
Okay.
And I did it on purpose.
Huh.
I want the exercise.
Yep. I'm the same way.
I don't want one level anymore. You got to keep active, you know?
You do.
Physically, mentally, every way.
I had a friend, not a friend, but an associate that I knew in Somerset County Chamber, and I hadn't seen him a couple of years. All of a sudden, he was back at the Chamber Leeds Group. And I said, I thought you retired. He says, I did. And my wife retired.
It lasted 3 minutes.
Yeah. He said, I married her for better or for worse, but not for lunch. I went back to work.
Absolutely.
Said, that is funny. Because Marilyn's the same way. She doesn't realize that you may be 20 minutes into a thought when you're looking into a computer. She comes in and breaks your train of thought without, and then gets mad because you're mad. I said, you know, when you finally retire in 2 or 3 years, I'm either going to have a place with a door that locks or a separate floor or go find an office because this isn't going to work. But you know what? Life's not so bad in Hunterdon County. It's just that we have a few problems. I think we need to resolve that entry-level housing problem. We need to resolve having more 55-plus, although maybe according to Jeff, we don't need it. We're not building any new houses, and most of the existing houses are getting a little long in the tooth.
Yeah, I agree, but I still go back to the jobs, the salaries that are paid. If you can attract the companies that provide high paying jobs, all the rest solves itself.
Right.
All of it. You don't need to worry about what to do with the Union Hotel.
I listened to Chris Phelan as our president in Somerset Chamber, and there's a fellow named Mike, and his last name evades me right now, as president in the Somerset Chamber. And I belong to the Warren Watchung Chamber. I belong to the Basking Ridge Chamber. And I heard Mike talk at Basking Ridge, and he said, if tax, the Trump tax plan goes through and gives the incentives that you're talking about for new businesses, he says, think about where you're positioned. You come out of Newark Airport, and you sort of want to go to the nicest direction, which is to the west. And the very first place you hit that's really nice is Somerset County.
Is Somerset,
He said, we are on the gateway of boom if this ever goes through.
And he says, and Hunterdon will not be far behind.
No, it will trickle over because why do people go to Hunterdon? Yeah. They can't find what they want in Somerset.
I sure hope they get all this tax business straightened out and in place.
Yep.
And quickly.
Yep. I mean, it's just like the plan for downtown Flemington. There's two sides to it. And it's usually the side that doesn't want it makes the biggest noise. Doesn't mean they're the majority.
Yep.
And it's definitely holding things up. And I think I'll just give you a good example. I don't drink at all. And Marilyn has one glass of wine at the most, but she doesn't want to go to dinner unless they have a liquor license because she wants a glass of wine for dinner.
Yeah.
We don't come to downtown Flemington by accident. If we come on purpose, we bring a bottle and go to one of the Bring Your Own Bottle residents. So a lot of times, and people, we had this discussion at the Flemington group 2 weeks ago. People don't realize where Flemington ends and Raritan starts. Because
they have no idea, right. No conception.
So there's plenty of places you could go have a drink along 31. Yeah, that's not Flemington. That's Raritan. And you're right. We do, and they're putting up this brand new where the American Legion used to be. It's been totally razed, and they're going to put in the Chimney Rock Inn branch over there, which is fabulous. I think restaurant business and they're putting in an Aldi food store, which is a format that has worked. It's going to be over near Bed Bath & Beyond, I understand. I understand there's another food store coming in, a couple of other restaurants coming in. I don't know where the hell they're going to get people to work in these, but... Mm. What I am hearing that I had Lee Roth on last week, and he said some of the businesses are busing people in. That's where they've got to come from. I said, it must be, because we don't have them.
Yeah, you might have to bus them,
So we're at a crucial point. We need to revitalize Hunterdon County. Flemington, we all agree from a real estate viewpoint, is where it needs to be, not up on 78, and... If I was to draw a parallel between Clinton and Flemington, I would prefer to live in a Flemington area because there's so much to choose from.
But
there's more there, yeah. Clinton is nice, but it's small.
Right, and I prefer to live in Clinton because I can hop on 78 because my office is in the Warren Watchung area. So living in Flemington doesn't make sense to me from that viewpoint, but from a lifestyle viewpoint, it's a great place to live.
Yep.
And
yep,
we've
yep.
got to find a way of bridging this difference we've got between probably a small faction that would like to keep downtown Flemington falling down. If you go around and look at the back of the old hotel, that's exactly what's happening.
That's what's happening, yeah.
And a major faction that is saying, look, we'll try to keep the facade to look as much as possible, but we've got to rebuild it, or it's just not going to be there in another 5 years.
Yeah.
It's disheartening to watch it in action because the people that were at the meeting where it did get voted approval on about 8 months ago were absolutely rude to the mayor, and he probably won't get reelected. I don't know, just based on what I saw at the meeting. They were very voiceful and very coordinated.
Well, it has been my experience, Joe, that and I've lived 8 decades now, that most people can't think their way out of a paper bag.
Right.
Now, that seems cruel to say that, but it's true. They don't think. They have not been taught how to think. They react mainly with emotion.
Yep.
To everything.
And right now, the economy is running on emotions.
Yeah,
we're calling
exactly.
it consumer confidence.
Exactly.
And we're knee-jerking, let's not build this $80 million project that will absolutely help, in my opinion, revitalize downtown Flemington, but I'm open to other people because Lee, for example, his office is right across. He doesn't want it just because he doesn't want to look at a six-story building.
I tell you, if I shouldn't say this on air, but if it were up to me, I would tear down the Union Hotel and build something there.
Mm.
I mean, it has history, of course. Yep. Every square inch of Flemington and the rest of the world has history. But what are you going to do?
Yep. Well, Al, we're rapidly coming up to the end of our time. It's always amazing how it flies by so quickly. If anybody would like to read more of Al Warr, and his last name is spelled W-A-R-R, he is published regularly, almost on a weekly basis, in The Democrat, and you can just look him up online, and all his articles are available there. He's a longtime resident of the area and a wealth of knowledge, and I know he's been on other people's shows here as well. And my name's Joe Peters, and I played my commercial earlier. You can reach me at 908-238-0118 or just go to my website. Al, do you have a website as well?
I do not, no.
Okay. Yeah, mine's Jay Peters. I try to keep it easy, but what we're trying to do is make a difference without any politics being involved. And it's pretty hard to do without getting into political issues, but
everything is political.
Right.
Sooner or later.
Sooner or later. You cross that bridge and look what's happening on the national level. I don't know when that's it. I don't think it's going to end.
No. It's part and parcel of the national...
I'm thinking that it could take a tremendous toll on the party that lost in this next 2-year election, and that may bring it up by the bootstraps, but you never know, it may not. So we're pretty evenly divided as a country, even though Flemington, I think, is lopsidedly divided on this issue of building in downtown Flemington.
Building in downtown. If you're going to attract a substantial tenant,
yep.
And you got to have something to attract them.
You need hotel space. You need retail space.
You need all kinds of things.
And
the first thing you need are those high-paying
jobs.
I can't emphasize that enough. As much as I look at the national economy, the local economy, whether it's the Lehigh Valley or Flemington, you need high-paying jobs. And the rest of the stuff from the schools to the housing will solve itself.
Good. Good advice, Al. I'm going to end it on that note. I appreciate you coming on with me one more time.
Good to talk with you again.
Great, and I'll try to have you on right after the first of the year and enjoy the holidays and good
health. You do the same, and have a good Halloween tonight.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to go trick-or-treating right into my easy chair. Hope nobody rings the bell. Although, I listened to the police in Warren Township who addressed our chamber, and they said, Halloween's not what it used to be. There is no Mischief Night anymore.
That's true.
And Halloween is more instead of trick or treat, it's trunk or treat, and you go to a parking lot at the school, and everybody has the goodies in the trunk, and it's sort of a numbers game. You could hit 50 cars.
It's a different kind of a thing. My neighborhood is full of kids, but they don't trick or treat. I never see a kid.
The world is changing.
Yeah.
Okay. All thanks. Different. Thanks again, Al. I'll be in touch.
Good. Good talking with you. Take care.
Bye bye. All right. This is Joe Peters signing out, and Greg is going to be here in 1 minute to start his show, and I'm going to play the news, and I'll talk to you again next week when I'll have the month of October's real estate statistics to go over with you. It should be an interesting discussion. Joe Peters, Coldwell Banker, thank you for tuning in, and thank you, Al War, for joining me.